We invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of Jude, right before the book of the Revelation. The book of Jude, just 25 verses. Book of Jude, it starts off with Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Isn't that good? He's writing to those who are sanctified, preserved, and called. That's a wonderful thing to think that that's what we are as we are in Jesus Christ. Mercy unto you. Boy, don't we need mercy. And peace and love be multiplied. The man was just full of the Spirit, and he was desiring for you to have the full portion of the Spirit to be comforted by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Ghost yourself. He said, beloved, and what a wonderful term, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, he said, boy, my mind was just full of trying to encourage you concerning the common salvation and how that comes about. He said, the Lord changed my mind when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. He said, instead of writing about salvation and how we obtain it, I want to write about how we maintain our faith, since we do have faith. God has granted it unto us, and we must never, ever think that the devil is asleep on the job, that our flesh is not active. We must continually work and contend for the faith, because this is the faith which was just once delivered to the saints. Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith, and he gave it unto us, and it's passed on down. And dear soul, when someone was preaching the word of God, the Holy Spirit granted you faith. And all of a sudden, your eyes, your spiritual eyes, were opened, and you begin to see and perceive and understand what the man was talking about. So we got to contend for that. You got to maintain it. He said, why? For. The next verse starts off with a because. You must contend for this faith because, or for, there are certain men crept in unawares. The devil has got his counterfeits, and he's going to bring in wolves, but they're going to be in sheep's clothing. And you're going to have to be careful with them. They're going to sound like your brothers or sisters in the Lord, but they're not. They're going to be counterfeits, and they're there to take away from you anything they can. For the thief, that is the devil, cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life. Well, there are certain men crept in unawares. Now listen, this is getting to our where we want to center our thoughts. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ordained to condemnation. God's absolute sovereignty. He has ordained certain men to be condemned. But dear soul, that's not without their works. And he says, they have crept in, but they were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord, of our God, into lasciviousness. My, what a big old word. What does that mean? It actually means the license to sin. They're going to use grace as an excuse and an opportunity to sin. Well, if I'm elected, then I can just do what I want to, and I'll still go to heaven. So I'm going to fulfill the lust of my flesh and the lust of my eyes and the pride of life. And there are a lot of people like that. They claim election, but dear soul, even if they claim it, they've got to understand, but they don't, that election is not salvation. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. We're coming right back. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Blessed be God, verse 3. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Because, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Why did God elect you? Because it pleased him to do so. What did he elect you unto? He said that we should be holy. Election is unto holiness. You can't say anybody or yourself is holy, or elected, unless there is a manifestation of the holiness of God working within you. So, election is not salvation. Election is unto holiness. And there is a responsibility of the Christian, of the believer, to work out that salvation in fear and trembling and allow that which God has placed within to come without. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ say, by their fruits you shall know them? Yes, he did. We have to understand and see that there is no manifestation, if there is no manifestation of holiness, then there is no substance of election there within them. So he says, these men were of old ordained unto this condemnation. Ungodly men, they preach grace, they think grace, they talk grace, they sit under grace ministries, and they use it for their license to sin. They turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that he says, listen, this thing's dangerous. There's going to be men that can talk graceless like you can. There's going to be women that's going to be able to act like that they're holy and come among you just like you are. But they're going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. How do you discern them? How do you understand them? Go back to Matthew chapter 7, the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. The Lord says in verse 15, Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets. And of course, that would include false professors, those who say they're believers, those who are among us that say they are Christians, these men that creep in. What kind of bug creeps in? You're right, it's some kind of insect, not really a sheep. They creep in. They come in the back door. Jesus said, if you don't come in by the door, you're not one of my sheep. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So we understand and see, dear soul, that Jude is warning you of the same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ is warning you. He says, in chapter 10 and verse 16 of Matthew, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Whoa. Wait a minute. One of the things wolves likes to eat is mutton, and that's us. They'll tear you and rend you, dear soul. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You are not to return evil for evil. You're to be cautious around them, careful around them. You need to be harmless as a dove, but you better be wise as a serpent. What kind of wisdom does a serpent have? He always knows who his enemy is. Go back to Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Dear soul, don't condemn yourself when Sister so-and-so acts like she's the most holy thing in the world, and you see her acting in a way that's contrary to the Spirit of God, and you say, well, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't judge that poor woman. Yes, you should. That's the Holy Spirit showing you that. You be careful, dear soul. Don't quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. If God is showing you a wolf, don't say just because they say they're a sheep that I shouldn't have that judgment of them. Yes, you should. You say the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. Yeah, but dear soul, how in the world are you going to know what kind of tree it is if you don't look at the fruit? And Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. You're not judging them in a legal or in a mean and an ungodly sense. You are discerning by the Holy Spirit. You are perceiving by the Holy Spirit. God is revealing to you that not everything that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Dear soul, some of the most wicked people I've ever met were church members. Don't you know that that's exactly where the devil would place them in order to discourage God's people and to bring them down? Listen, that's why Jude said, started to write to you about the common salvation. This is what you need to do to get saved and so forth. He said, but it was more needful for me that I would write to you and say, you need to be careful about wolves in sheep clothing. You need to be careful about men ordained to this condemnation. We need to look at that, ordained to this condemnation. And he says, do men, ye shall know them by their fruits. Matthew 7:16. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or do they gather figs of thistles? Dear soul, if you're not receiving grapes and figs, but you're getting pricks and barbs and you're getting pierced, you're dealing with a false person. You're dealing with a counterfeit. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. You can't change that. What kind of tree is that? Well, it's got apples on it. So what kind of tree is it? It's an apple tree. How'd you know? Because it's got apples on it. What kind of fruit has that person got? Mean, vindictive, critical. Always putting you down with their attitude and exalting themselves, and says that he loveth the preeminence, wants to be worshipped and wants to be adored above everybody else. You be careful with those kinds of people. I don't care who they are. They may be your dear friend, have been in times past. They may be your close relative. By their fruits you shall know them. You need to be careful, dear soul. And if the Holy Spirit said that person is a counterfeit, that person is ordained to condemnation, you need not say, well, I shouldn't judge them people. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. You don't have to say anything to them. You don't have to go out against them or antagonize them in any way. Just have a caution flag come up and say, Lord, I keep having this sensation about these people when I'm around them, and I'm not going to deny it, but I'm going to come to you with it. What's wrong with that? You didn't stir up any trouble in the church. You didn't stir up any aggravation with those people. You just went back and talked to the Lord, and you found out that was the Lord all the time warning you. Dear soul, I got so much to get to. I want to hurry up and get over there to it, but let me finish reading this. Verse number 18 of Matthew 7, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Cannot. It is not possible for a good tree to bring forth evil fruit. If you have one that is bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and gentleness, meekness and long-suffering and patience and so forth, that's come from the Holy Spirit. Nobody gets those kinds of characteristics from their old granddaddy Adam. The only thing we get from Adam are the works of the flesh, debate and anger and jealousy and wrath and meanness. Those things come from old Adam. But if you got love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and long suffering, and you see it in somebody else, we didn't get it by Adam, it didn't come from our natural birth. It came from our spiritual birth. So those things cannot be denied. Those things exclusively come from the Lord. I don't care if it's your granddaddy or your mama or your grandmama or whoever it is, or your aunt or your uncle or whoever it is, or your son or daughter. You need to understand, dear soul, that God will manifest to you who it is that you can fellowship with freely and openly, but you got to understand, God is not going to let you cast his precious pearls of grace and mercy and kindness before swine. You say, well, I don't want to call that person a swine. Well, let me ask you this. Did they have a swinish attitude? If they step on your good things of the Lord, if you try to share with them the blessed things of the Lord and they mock you and they stomp on them and come after you, you got a pig on your hands. You need to wake up and understand. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Dear soul, do you understand that the family in heaven is made up of the redeemed? There's not a single person in heaven who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's not a single person in hell that did not fail to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If that person has vindictive spirits and meanness and ungodliness, and they don't want any part of your spiritual things and those blessed times of refreshing from the Lord, then you need to be careful. Listen, he said, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. If there's not any good fruit, it's not a good tree, because there's not a single tree that's good that doesn't bring forth good fruit. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Listen, Matthew 7:18 again. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Look at that tree. Look how full it is. Provides with a lot of shade. Got a beautiful shape. Well, let's go get some fruit from it. Well, it don't have any fruit on it. What? There's no fruit on it. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. If you are born of the Holy Spirit, the tendencies and the characteristics of the Holy Spirit will be manifest in, unto, and through you. Can't help it. It will always be that way. So we understand and see, dear soul, that every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Why cumbereth it the ground? I've been to this tree that the master said 3 years in a row, and there ain't no fruit on it. And he tells his servant, chop it down. And the servant says, let me dig around it and put fertilizer on it one more year and see if we can awaken it and bring forth good fruit. He said, okay. And dear soul, since God has been so good and gracious to us and merciful to us and kind to us and has the watering of the Holy Spirit and has the fertilizer of God's mercies and graces, listen, there will be fruit brought forth to manifest what that tree is. Either it will be evil fruit and show to be an evil tree, or no fruit to show that it is an evil tree. Or it will have good fruit on it to show that it is a good tree. You can tell men by their fruits. But they're church members. So was Judas. Dear soul, listen. Looks like I'm going to get on over to that anyhow. Let me go ahead and get to it. Listen. But let me finish reading here. Every tree, verse 19 of Matthew 7, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. What is that crackling noise I hear? That's the master cutting down trees that didn't have any fruit on it, and that's the leaves and the limbs and all burning up, and the water in it is popping and crackling. Well, I thought that was a nice tree. Well, it was a nice tree, but it wasn't a fruitful tree. And not a single Christian, listen to me, not one single true born-again believer is without the fruit of the Spirit. Nobody is without the fruit of the Spirit. It is the Lord. That's the way that it is. I'm trying to find that passage. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. I think it's, here it is. Verse 17, Galatians 5, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. The Spirit lusteth against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that you are prevented from doing what you would. You can't have a good tree bringing forth evil fruit. They are contrary one to the other, flesh against the Spirit. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The works, plural, of the flesh, here's the evil tree, this will come forth from them eventually one way or another. The works, plural, of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. We talked about that. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such likes. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Next word. But the fruit. Don't say fruits of the Spirit. It's the works, plural, of the flesh, but it's the fruit, singular. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, so they don't bring forth the works of the flesh. Yes, we can find things in that works of the flesh that we may have been guilty of and may still be, hopefully, but may still be guilty of from time to time. As I have constantly told you, a sheep can fall into the mud, but it won't stay in the mud. Why? Because it's a sheep and not a pig. You can take a pig and wash him, and clean him all up, put a ribbon around his neck, paint his toenails with pink toenail polish, and set him forth out into the yard. Next thing you know, you got a nasty, filthy pig on your hands, rooting and grunting in the dirt. Why? Because it's a pig. The nature has not been changed. So we understand and see that Jude is saying, you need to be careful with this. Oh, but when I got saved, I just fell in love with everybody. Good. That was when you were on your, as it were, your honeymoon, they say, when you first got saved. You thought everybody was going to love the things you love and everybody was going to love you, and you found out very shortly that a lot of people were jealous of you. They were spiteful towards you. They quenched the Spirit in you. They grieved the Holy Ghost when you tried to share it with them. And you thought, what's wrong with me? I usually am able just to bubble over and rejoice with God's people. Nothing's wrong with you. They're just not God's people. Stop and think. And I've told you this so many times, you need to remember it. It was the religious man that put the spiritual man on the cross. The enemy of the spiritual man is always the religious man. Why? John chapter 3 and verse 19. John chapter 3 and verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And Jesus said to you as his church, you are the light of the world. Right? Yep. We were sometimes darkness, but God has made us light in the Lord. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness. Get it in your head. You need to understand that you're not being legalistic, or you're not being improper in having a discerning spirit and judging others. The Holy Ghost has given you that. Quit condemning God's discernment within your soul. You don't have to come out against them. You don't have to tell them that you believe they're lost. You don't have to tell everybody else, well, I don't think they know the Lord. Keep it to yourself, but make sure yourself understands that you need to be careful around those people. It was the religious man that put the spiritual man on the cross. It will always be that way. Those who reveal any spirit from the Lord will immediately be hated, judged, and set upon by those who are merely religious. That's the way that it is. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness. Did you get that? It took me years to finally understand what that said. You couldn't understand men love darkness. Yeah, I knew what the words meant. But I didn't know how to make application of it, and I didn't perceive and understand until I found out that I got more dents in my shield and more dents in my helmet and more chinks in my sword from those who said they were church members and believers than I did from those that were in the world. I found out I could get along with worldlings a whole lot easier than I can get along with religious folks. They despise you. They hate you. They're jealous of you. Who put Jesus on the cross? Scribes and Pharisees and the high priests. Those who were illustrious ones in their own mind in religion. So the religious man always comes after and despises the spiritual man. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. If you find somebody that despises the Holy Spirit in you and the Holy Spirit that is manifest through his word and through the worship services and the true worship of God by those who are pure and holy, dear soul, you're going to find somebody that's involved with evil works. No doubt about it. That's the reason that they're hiding in the church, is to cover up their evil works. Why do you think they put on sheep's clothing? Why didn't they put on some other kind of clothing? They want to appear to be righteous, but they are wolves. They still have the nature of the wolf. They still have the nature of those who are contrary to God. Grow up, Christian, and understand. And again, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. So we understand and see, dear soul, that Jude is telling us something. He is saying to us, listen, and here he is writing by the Holy Spirit. It's in your Bible, right? How'd he get in there? Well, these things were written by the Holy Spirit, inspiring men to write. So Jude was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. Well, I want to tell you something. I was going to write you about salvation. I gave all diligence to write. I had been rehearsing it in my mind, making outlines and coming up with things that I thought would be good for you to know. All diligence. This man was serious. But the Holy Spirit said, nope, changed it. It's more needful for you that I write to you concerning contending for the faith. Dear soul, the Lord said, you be careful lest any man take your crown. You're going to find that it's going to be awful hard sometimes to maintain the faith that was once delivered to the saints, because you love that person. You've had respect for them. You grew up with them. But they're trying to get you to go contrary to what you know the Holy Spirit wants you to do. And you're going to be tempted to go along with them in order to get along with them. But just remember that those are the kind of people that nailed your master on the cross, and you can't afford to make friends out of Christ's enemy. Dear soul, this is the reason that there's not many Christians in this world. And I've told you time and time and time and time again that you don't know that many true Christians. You know a lot of dedicated church members. You know a lot of Bible quoters. But true, born-again children of God that's willing to pay the price and to be hated of all men for his name's sake, you just don't know that many. You think, well, I know a lot of Christians. No, you don't. You know a lot of church members. You know a lot of people that that love to quote scriptures or use the Bible against other people and exalt themselves in a legalistic morality, but they don't have any righteousness. We need to understand Jude is very serious about this thing, and I want you to understand and know that, dear soul, election ordained to this condemnation, That's a hard thing to think about. Why are they doing this to me? They are ordained to this condemnation. That means God has ordained them to this. Look with me to 1 Peter. Go back a few pages. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 8. 1 Peter 2, 8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Wait a minute, let's go back up to verse 7. Unto you, therefore, this is 1 Peter 2, 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same has become the head of the corner, and it's become a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Watch it. Whereunto also they were appointed. 2 Peter chapter 2. The book of 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1. There were false prophets among them in the Old Testament. There shall be false teachers among you here in the New Testament. Many shall follow their pernicious, their destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness, they want what you got. Through covetousness shall they, with molded and cunning and false words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Their judgment lingereth not. They got judgment lined up from them by the Lord. For them from the Lord, and their damnation slumbereth not. These people are headed for a bad and false end. But dear soul, one of the things that's got to happen is God will bring them up against you. It'll do two things. It will condemn them for touching God's anointed, and it will sanctify you by having to resist those that the flesh may want to love. And you will have to learn and understand that you will either stand with those without who are warming themselves by the world's fire, like Peter did for a period of time, and then you wind up denying the Lord, and then you go out and weep bitterly, and after that you don't have any more trouble out of Mr. Peter. He understood and saw what he did and understood what his flesh was capable of. And dear soul, the Bible said in the book of the Revelation, chapter 18, and verse number 14, let's read verse 4 to begin with. Revelation 18, 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. You're mixed in with them. There was a mixed multitude that came out of Egypt. And you had to learn and understand that the trouble that Israel got into was from that mixed multitude. They loved the leeks and garlands, whatever that other thing was. Garlic that was in Egypt. They had a taste for the world. Their soul, and they were constantly getting Israel in trouble. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. And then in verse 14, God said, I'm going to finish all of this. And the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. God is going to finally bring those people to the place to where those things that they lusted after and wanted and desired, now, if they could just get one drop of water from the old bony, diseased finger of Lazarus, they'd be happy. But he was faring sumptuously every day. We used to say, he's really eating high on the hog. The higher up on the pig you get, the better the meat is. And some people even eat pig's feet down there. Not me. But anyhow, listen, that's what we used to say. He fared sumptuously every day. But it was brought down to the place to where God said, okay, you've had your good things, and Lazarus has had his evil things. But now there's a great gulf fixed between you and him. And even though you blowed by him in your chariot and blowed dust all over that man with all them sores and the disease that he had, you didn't even think about him. You just wanted to make sure there wasn't no dust got on your fine royal purple attire, and you could be thought well of by other people, and you could burp because you had such a big old rich supper last night and a big rich lunch today. And he would have been glad for a biscuit. And he says, now Lazarus has his good things, and you shall not have anything that you ever wanted. Those things that were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. Dear soul, we sung songs when we were young Christians and we wanted to everybody to know how much we love Jesus, and we were going to never deny him, and we were wanting everybody to know that we were really in love with Jesus. But then God sent one sanctified wolf in our midst, and you got tangled up with a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, I don't hear you singing so loud. It's awful. It's rough. It's hard, but it's an opportunity for you to show the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, not your preacher, not your brothers and sisters down at the church house, but it's between you and Jesus. Are you going to contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints? Again, I'm not saying you have to go stand up against them, preach them a message, or throw them out, or do anything except resist them in the faith, in your heart, and not go along with those things that they're trying to entice you into, that you may maintain a spirituality before the Lord God, and that you quit trying to give them pearls because you find out they have a swinish attitude. And dear soul, if you're casting pearls and they turn out to be swinish attitudes, what you're looking at is the pig and not a sheep. But he's my friend, but she's my cousin, but she. You see how hard this is? That's why Jude said, I got to write this to you. I gotta write this to you. Listen. In Psalm, what is it, 62 and verse 12, I was amazed to find how the Old Testament believers looked at these kinds of things. Psalm 62 and verse 12. We're going to be judged according to our works, right? Yep. What kind of fruit has it got? Well, it's evil fruit. Well, then chop it down, throw it in the fire. Why? Because it's an evil tree. And so every man shall be judged according to his works. Listen at Psalm 62 and verse 12. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. You say, that's good. But listen to the next phrase. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. That sounds like justice. You were producer of evil fruit, then you shall be chopped down. You shall receive according to your work. But that's not what they were saying here. They're saying, Lord, you're going to judge me according to my works. But my works have been those things that you have done in me and through me. You are merciful unto me. And you're going to render to me in your kindness and in your goodness great things, dear Lord. And I thank you for it. That's what they were saying. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. Why do you think he was praising mercy and thanking God that God was going to render to every man according to his work, but that God's mercy had been working in them? I was able to remind a dear handmaiden of the Lord this past week, his mercy endureth forever. And I said, you won't ever run out of it. God's going to be merciful to you. And that's the way, that's the reason you have those works that God can bless you for. It's because he was merciful unto you. I learned something a long time ago. We have three children, and they would always need some money right around Christmas time. And they'd kind of grin and look at one another, and you knew what they were doing. They were coming to you to get money to buy you a Christmas present with. Well, you were then, in fact, buying your own present. Well, not really. You actually was. It was your money. And you'd give them money and act like you didn't know what it was for so you could be surprised. And they'd go with their mama off to the mall or the stores or whatever. And then they'd come back home snickering and giggling, and they'd get in the back room and you'd hear, you know, wrapping paper and all this sort of stuff. And then all of a sudden, they'd appear under the Christmas tree, the most garbled up wrapping example you ever saw in your life. Used about, you know, four rolls of tape to wrap one little old dinky thing. And then they were thrilled to death on Christmas morning to run and grab that present and bring it to you. This is for you, Daddy. And you knew exactly what had gone on. And you'd unwrap that thing, and that was the most ugly tie you'd ever seen in your life. But that's the one they wanted to give you. It was a child's taste, which was distasteful. But you had to wear it. And you had to brag on them, and you had to hug their neck and kiss them and tell them thank you for this present. What are you talking about? I'm talking about God had to give you everything you got in order for you to bring him anything. You had to go to the Lord. His mercy endureth forever. Mercy belongeth unto thee, but you shall render to me according to my work. Here's your present, Lord. And we, you know, the Lord's so good to us, he acts like the least little old thing we do is the greatest thing in the world. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that love him. God is so good to us. If we have any fruit, it's God that did it. Where does the fruit come from? It comes off the limbs. Where do the limbs get the fruit? It draws sap from the tree, from the trunk. Where does the trunk get the sap? It gets it from the root. Who is the root of the church? The root and offspring of David is Jesus Christ. God is bringing forth from his goodness and his love and his mercy that which you need to bring forth fruit. Then he turns around and blesses you for it. Grab that little old child and hug their neck and kiss them and say, thank you so much. What a wonderful thing you did to go and pick this out for me. And then you hope that they wouldn't say on one Sunday morning, Dad, why aren't you wearing that tie I give you? I was hoping they'd forget about it. But they're so, why did that happen? The invisible things of God are clearly seen by the things that are made. Becoming a dad myself is seeing how our Father which art in heaven and how he deals with me. And this old, we see that this is a tremendous verse. I didn't like it when I first read it. I thought it was, it was a misquote. It was misdirected. The first part doesn't seem to go with the second part until you understand what God's saying. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. That sounds like justice. I'm going to render to you what you did. But it was mercy that causes us to be able to cast the crown at his feet. Where'd you get that crown? It's laid up for me, a crown. Who laid it up? The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question comes, what have you that you did not receive? Do you have the ability to understand the scriptures? Where'd you get that from? Do you have the ability to share with others the things that God has shown you in the scriptures by the Holy Spirit? Yes. That's a mercy of God. And dear soul, you got it from the Lord. And the only way that we're ever able to praise and worship and extend the kingdom of God and work in God's kingdom is because he hath been merciful unto us. I like this verse. Now that I finally understand it, at least I think I do. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest for every man according to his work. And I thank God that I know that I shall not be have God render to me according to my work without God having worked mercy in my heart to be able to produce those things. Now, of old, he said, they were ordained to this condemnation. How's our time? We got some. Ordained to this condemnation. That's going to throw you back to the second chapter of the book of Romans. Maybe we'll get to that in the second lesson. If we're ordained to this, how can God judge us for it if that's what he ordained us to do? But let me tell you something. As soon as I get my throat straightened out. John chapter 12 and verse 70. Can you believe there's that many verses in one chapter? No, I'm sorry, John. They're not. It's John chapter 6 that there are 71 verses. Let me make a statement. Now, close your Bible or look at me. Let me tell you something. Judas was chosen, but he was not elected. What? Okay, let's read it in the Bible. John chapter 6 and verse number 70. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Well, Jesus didn't elect him if he's a devil, but he did choose him. He chose him to be one of the 12. Master, there's tares among the wheat. Shall we go and rip them out, rip them up, get rid of them? He said, no. Let both grow together. Judas has got to walk with us, carry the bag that has the money in it. He's got to work among us, and he's got to grow into a reprobate, while at the same time you are growing as one of the elect and maturing. That's only what I desire of you, is your sanctification while you're being sanctified. Let both grow together. And the same sun that beams down on the vegetables is beaming down on the weeds. And both are growing together and coming to their full maturity. So he says, Don't try to tear up the tares. That's what I'm telling you. You don't have to go ripping people up and say, they're not of God. There'll be times, dear soul, when the tares look so much like wheat and the wheat looks so much like tares, you can't tell the difference. And you mess around, you tear up one of God's children, you'd be in a lot of trouble. Listen, let both grow together. That's the wisdom of God. Tares and wheat growing together. You need to understand that God would now bring you to a place of maturity to where you can look at their fruit and tell what kind of tree they are. And then you leave them alone. But you just understand, I write unto you that you can earnestly contend for the faith, for there are men that have crept in of old condemned to condemnation. It's not a mistake. Yes, that's what you're seeing. You know, I thought old so-and-so was my good friend. Well, they might have been. But their soul, when God shows you these things, you need to bow and worship and say, thank you, Lord, that it is not me. God have mercy on them in case they can be saved. But help me not to be persuaded by their wicked spirit and not go off into failing to contend for the faith that was once delivered for the saints. And why does the produce man go through the apple? Because there might be a bad one in there, and that bad apple beginning to secrete that old that rotten juice on the rest of them will cause them to turn bad too. One bad apple can contaminate the whole lot. You better learn to discern, dear soul. Listen. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, but one is the devil. I chose all 12 of you, but not all 12 of you was God's true child. Next verse. John 6:71, he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And you need to go and read that again. The enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Good master, did thou not sow good seed among in thy field? He said, yes. Then wherefore hast it tares? Why does it have weeds? He said, an enemy hath done this. But the devil is God's servant. He could have stopped it if he wanted to. But this was of old ordained. It has to be this way. You need to learn to be able to grow up and discern and learn to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Nobody's asking you to shoot him in the head or campaign against him. Dear soul, you can weep in silent and secret places concerning them, and you can do all you can to try to make them more spiritual, but you're going to find out you're not going to be able to, because what you're dealing with is a sow, what you're dealing with is an evil tree, what you're dealing with is one who has crept in and who changes the grace of God into a license to sin. They will talk about the grace of God, but they will live according to the lust of the flesh. That's the way it is. There's nothing will make you shake and tremble and doubt and whine and cry and carry on any more than learning that you've got somebody that's close to you that you've been loving and caring and friendly with that turns out now that for you to, without doubt, you didn't want to admit it, but you're going to have to, that they turn out to be a tare among the wheat. Jesus said, y'all been fellowshipping with Judas all this time. But Jesus called him a devil. Did you see that? Did not I choose you 12? But one of you is a devil. You say, well, surely they would have known that. Well, you go over there to the book of John, chapter 12 and 13, and we don't have time to do that right now. And Jesus said, one of you shall betray me. And 12 preachers turned and looked at one another and said, and looked at Jesus and said, is it me? Not a single one of them said, it's Judas. Dear soul, this is growing up time. Do you remember last week's lesson? Strong delusion that they might believe a lie. You're going to have to learn to live in the realm of a strong delusion, because that's what's settling down upon this nation right now. Our time is gone. Lord willing, we'll get more into this this in the second lesson, and I trust you will come back and listen to it. I want to say more concerning this and to help you with this if I possibly can. Let me give you one last thing about Judas. You say, it ain't fair Judas was of old ordained to this condemnation. Let me tell you what's fair. Judas did not betray Christ because he wasn't elect. Judas betrayed Christ because he loved money rather than Christ. And he said, Christ said, the love of money is the root of all evil. Judas betrayed Christ because he loved money. And he wanted to trade Christ for the money. And I want to tell you in the next lesson, Lord willing, the difference between Judas and Peter, who both denied and Judas betrayed Christ. What was the difference? God have mercy. Thank you for attending this. I trust it has been a blessing. And I know it's been challenging to you, but I want you to know I'm praying for you. I trust you'll pray for me. God help us to live through these last days with this great deception that's come upon our nation. Thank you. Amen.